I'm going to touch on a subject that's been really burning within me and just in our ministry for a while now. And it's not the most favorable message because a lot of folks don't like, but the message subject, if you go, I've been watching a lot of, you know, I'm on Instagram and I follow a few folks. This new generation is starting to understand this concept. The title of my message is Fear the Lamb. And I'm talking about the spirit of the fear of the Lord, or the fearing the Lord. And, you know, when you start talking about that, people are like, whoa, blah, 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 blah. Fear the Lord is not a bad thing. And so we're going to touch on this subject because I know, you know, there's just places that, you know, anyways. I'll get to that. But I'm talking for us as a church, as a ministry, as a people. We have to be a people that fear God. And it's not like, oh my goodness, it's God. Ah, run. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a reverential awe and fear. And so my message is called Fear the Lamb. And actually, there's a Christian, it's a Christian clothing, like workout apparel. And that's actually the name of their brand. It's called Fear the Lamb. Really great. I'm about to go buy some of their stuff, but really cool, like, graphic tees and stuff. I mean, really unashamed. And that's what I'm getting really excited about, you know, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, because there is a new generation coming up who are unashamed, who are going for walking in signs and wonders, and it's looking different. Like, there's another guy that I follow. His name is Richie the Barber. And I guess he used to be a barber guy for, like, the Stars. I don't know really where they came from, but he's I don't know how long he's been saved, but I watch his stuff. He has tattoos all over his face. Like, he literally tattooed himself looking like a clown. Like, he just looks like a clown, wears clown shoes, big old top hat, big old gauges, nose, ear. He has piercings everywhere. But this guy walks in power. And I was watching another pastor talk about him. In a good way, he was like, hey, guys, this new, and he was like talking about how this new way, this new generation of young people will not look like the Billy Grahams, the A.A. Allens. Nothing that was wrong, but in that generation, that was what that generation needed. But what this generation needs is folks that look and sound like them. And so this cat, I love watching this guy because if you just see him on the street, you're like, who is this guy? But man, they'll be baptizing people. They're casting out devils. I mean, I love it. I'm like, man, I love this. And I get excited because it's like, Lord, we have a generation that's looking for power and anointing and authenticity and bringing the power back to the gospel. And it's happening, whether it's the worship movement, whether it's signs and wonders. And it's amazing. And so it all comes from fearing the Lamb. So tonight, I want to explore a profound and often misunderstood aspect in our walk with God. It is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this is not a fear that causes us to run and hide or run away from God, but it is a reverential. It's a awe of who God is. And what it does is it draws us closer to Him. It is a deep honor, respect, and acknowledgement of His holiness, His power, and authority in our lives. You see, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and I encourage you to go read this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord has come and rests upon Jesus. And among the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. But yet we want to say, well, we don't talk about the fear of the Lord. I don't get it why there's churches, there's folks that don't talk about the fear of the Lord or say, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to touch this subject. But if you go into Isaiah 11, Isaiah's prophesying Jesus and saying, hey, this is what he's going to walk in. And the last manifestation of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Someone who is scared of God has something to hide. I want to say that again. Someone who's scared of God has something to hide. You see, after Adam sinned in the garden, he and Eve hid from the presence of the Lord. This was the man who would walk with God in the cool of the day. I mean, check that out. I mean, he walked with the creator of the universe. Now, scripture doesn't say what they talked about, but God knows what they talked. I mean, I bet they talked about some really cool stuff. You see, God created people. He created us because he wanted relationship. In and of ourselves, God doesn't need anything from us. He's not like, oh man, Tiffany really has something to give to me. No, he existed before us. He did stuff before. He didn't need us, but out of relationship and love, he created us so that he can have a creation, a created beings that he can conversate with, love with. And so Adam would walk with God. I mean, how would that look like? He walked with God, and God is probably, odds are, he's pouring out his heart. God is sharing crazy revelation about the universe. I can't wait till we get to heaven, because I'm gonna ask, hey, yo, Adam, what did y'all really talk about? Can you give us a little hint? Can you give me us a little behind the scenes? But God and Adam, they walked together, they talked together, they had communion together, they had relationship together. And soon as Adam sinned, the Bible says that him and Eve ran. Why? This was the guy he used to talk with and hang out with. But all of a sudden, oh no. Sin will cause you to be scared of God. That's really how it is. And that's why this is just my opinion. This is a Joshism. That's why I believe there's so many pastors and churches who don't talk about the spirit of the fear of the Lord, because they got something in the closet that causes them to be fearful or scared of the Lord because they don't have an understanding. Sin will cause you to be scared of God. What is there to be scared of God? It's like the police when you get stopped and I talk to just different pastors, I talk to friends and all. If you don't have anything to hide, you're not doing anything, what is there to be scared of the police for? If you're driving down the road, you're going the speed limit, you're you don't have anything in your car, and they flash them red and blues on you, you stop on, there's no reason to be scared. I don't care if you're white, black, Mexican, purple, polka dot, Chinese, whatever. If you don't have anything to that's wrong, what is there to be afraid of? It's the same with God. If you don't have If there's not something that you're hiding, there's no reason to be fearful of God. But what causes us to be afraid? Shame. Oh, I did this in secret. Oh, I said this. I did that. Shame will cause you to be fearful of God. Fear of punishment. As kids, when we would mess up, who are you afraid of? Not necessarily mom. But what was the most dreaded phrase a mother could say to a kid? I know in our family, you do something stupid, wait till your father gets home. That was psychological warfare. Because I knew, everybody knows my dad. When he came home, it was time to handle business. Where's the belt? Where's the paddle? Doesn't matter if we scream, we cry, act like we're dead. There's going to be hands. There's going to be an anointing on our behinds. The fivefold ministry with extreme prejudice. My dad was not abusive, but man, he could spank he'll spank the devil out of you. But those were the fearful words. Wait till your father comes in. And so there's a fear of punishment. And so many times as believers, we have this fear of the Lord because sin causes you to be, when you mess up, sin causes you to fear punishment. Punishment isn't necessarily a bad thing. The Bible says that the Lord punishes those, or he chastises those whom he loves. I remember we get in trouble, and we get spanked. You know, me and my brothers will get spanked, and we're and my dad be like, "I do this because I love you." There's two phrases we would say: "Don't love us anymore," or if we're getting on the edge, we're about to get spanked, he'll look at us and be like, "Do you guys want me to love you some more? No, no, no. You want me to love you some more? No, no, we don't want me. No, get rid of us." You know. But it comes from a biblical principle. God chastises or he punishes those who he loves. My kids think we're crazy. They get in trouble. We fuss at them. We ground them. We do all this stuff. And they're like, "If we didn't love you, we would let you do whatever you wanted to do and you would ruin your lives." So someone who's scared of God has something to hide. However, the person who fears God has nothing to conceal. They are terrified of being apart from God. This is evident because while we'll read it here in Exodus 20, the people of God retreated and Moses drew near. The person who fears God has nothing. That's why the Bible says, "Come boldly to the throne of God." If you have nothing to hide or to conceal, even if you messed up, God's a holy God, but he's also a gracious God and merciful God. "God, I messed up." We can go boldly, ask for forgiveness. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the flashings and the lightnings and the sound of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. And as they looked, the people were afraid and they trembled and moved backwards and they stood at a safe distance. Then they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we'll die. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him," that is a profound reverence for him, "will remain with you so that you do not sin." So the people stood at a safe distance, but Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Moses had nothing to conceal. There was nothing that he had to hide from God from. So he was like, "Hey, God's over there." Everybody else was like, "No." And he was like, "Okay, cool." And he's going and he's running towards the Heavenly Father. Fear of the Lord is not being scared of God and therefore withdrawing from him. Fear of the Lord is not being scared of God and therefore causes you to withdraw from him. How can we embrace intimacy with someone we fear? Pulling away is the antithesis of what he yearns for. In Psalms, we read, Psalms 27:8, "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responded, 'Lord, here I am.'" It's the opposite of what God wants. God doesn't want us to be fearful and to run. He wants us to draw near to him. How can there be intimacy if you fear someone? That's why we have so many marriages and relationships where one spouse or the other rules with the iron fist, and you have a scared spouse. "Well, I'm scared this is going to happen. I'm scared this is going to happen." There's no intimacy because there's fear. You see, beloved, some individuals with certain churches refrain from discussing the spirit of the fear of the Lord or fear of the Lord. They believe that we can behave in any manner and we can treat any member of the Trinity as if they were our closest friend down the street from the neighborhood. You know what that is, what I mean by that. Hey, how's it going? What's up? You're part of the young crew. Part of the black folk. This is what we would say. I used to say it until I got rebuked when I was younger. Hey, what up, ninja? We all know what word I'm talking about. When you're Hispanic, you know, you have your own, cuss word, derogatory word. We all have something, you know. We all have something because even though it's a wrong word or whatever, we say it to our friends. And so we act like that with God. We act like God is our boo. He's our buddy. It's not that. Yes, God is a God that loves us. He's a friend, all of that. But there still has to be a sense of reverence. There still has to be a sense of like, you know, I always get up, you know, irritated where people are like, hey, yo, throw up a prayer to the man upstairs. I'm like, man, don't talk about God like that. He's not the man upstairs. He's the creator of the universe. And you're talking, you're belittling, and you're acting like as though he is common. He's not common. Jesus is not common. And I say the Trinity because we all know there's three expressions or three people, three personhoods of the Godhead. And we disrespect all three of them all the time. We have some groups that don't even mess with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we don't listen to him. We know he's here. We know he's part of the Trinity, but we don't acknowledge him. We don't mess with him. We do our thing. He does his thing. We got others who blaspheme God. We got others who blaspheme Jesus. We have to have a holy fear. Well, Josh, this is we're under the new covenant, man, because of the Holy Spirit, we can be, okay, I got you. See, if we examine scripture, we find a different narrative. When people disobeyed God, stuff happened. In this day and age, we mistakenly believe that we can treat God in any way we please, and he tolerates it. While it is true that we can have fun with God, I mean, I laugh with God, I have fun. We've all gotten drunk in the spirit. We've all had fun with God. We can have fun with God. He loves us. We love him. We must remember that he's the creator of the universe. Well, Josh, this is where I think as believers, sometimes we have a double standard. I guarantee you, if Trump walked in the room, Obama, any president, somebody of authority, Biden, whoever walked in the room, I guarantee you nobody's cracking jokes. Even if you're friends, you know, you're respectful to them. Everybody's like, oh, I might. Man, shut up. We all know you're not. Say something crazy, watch Secret Service come and say something to you. We all know ain't nobody. Everybody acts bad. Oh, yeah, I'd say something. Yeah, whatever. I say something to Obama. I say something to Biden. No, you're not. But what I'm saying is that we have more respect for men, and we treat men, we treat women, we treat everybody else with more that has authority, with respect, with honor, with awe, but yet we treat God like a chump. We treat Jesus like a chump. We treat the Holy Spirit like a chump. That's not what we're creating. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Probably gonna get canceled for this, but so what? Well, Josh, let me give you another one. John the Beloved, who laid his head on Jesus' chest. He heard the divine heartbeat of Jesus. 60 years later, after Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, John is sent to the island of Patmos. He's having a revelation of Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, this is what happened to John. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, ESV says it like this. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 17:1-17, the Amplified says it like this. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, and he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and I am the last, the absolute deity, the Son of God. Isaiah 44:6 kind of meshes with that. In other words, this is John the Beloved who saw Jesus in human form, laid his head on his chest, listened to the divine heartbeat. But when he saw Jesus, in his ultimate glory and his deity and who he is, John, the body said, yeah, okay, boom, we're done. He said, I fell as if I was dead. But yet we today want to be like, oh yeah, I can say what I want. I can stand. Okay, come on, dude. You got to be like the hood. Sometimes I just want to be hood when I hear people disrespect the Trinity or disrespect God our Father or Jesus. I just want to be like, smack, psh. Get their mouth out your, get their name out your mouth. You say you disrespect somebody in the hood, you know, you get shot, you get slapped. Man, get their name out your mouth. Because they have an understanding. You're not going to disrespect this person. John the Beloved says he fell as if dead. Josh, this sounds like God is a scary guy. No, I'm not saying that we're supposed to fear him. This is what I'm saying. Do you hear the call to intimacy? He desires for you to draw near, to engage in interaction, share laughter, and share life together. The psalmist also proclaims in Psalms 25:14, the Lord is a friend to those who fear him. So, beloved, rest assured, fear the Lord, do not diminish. Fearing the Lord, it does not diminish intimacy. It actually enhances our interaction with him. There's two types of fears. I want holy fears I want to talk about real briefly. And sometimes you'll hear me interchange them. But they're actually two separate things. There's the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and then there's just fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is one of the seven spirits of God mentioned in Isaiah 11:2. It says, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is a divine empowerment given by the Holy Spirit. It enables a person to reverence, honor, and submit to God's authority in a way that goes beyond our human effort. It's an actual manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer, producing deep respect, awe, and obedience towards God the Father. It leads us to a lifestyle that naturally rejects sin and embraces righteousness. Not out of terror, but out of love and reverence for God. And then you'll hear me use, or you'll hear other folks talk about the fear of the Lord. So that was the spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is the fear of the Lord, just the fear of the Lord. And this refers to the attitude and posture of a believer's heart towards God. It is the awareness of his holy. It is the awareness of his holiness, justice, and power, leading to worship, obedience, and desire to avoid sin. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, it's not a crippling fear or dread, but rather a holy reverence and deep respect that influences our choices. It produces wisdom, keeps believers from sin, and draws them closer to God. Proverbs 19, again, it says, fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Well, how is that wisdom? Easy. It gives you wisdom on how to live your life. A perfect example is that, you know, as a married man, as a pastor, when I text ladies, it's always in a group text with my wife, Tiffany. Well, Josh, I wouldn't have to do, I do that and it seems to be okay. One, why gamble with sin? That's wisdom. Man, you're setting up you're setting up safeguards so there's never an accusation of sin. Now, sometimes you just can't get around it and all, well, you know, but 99% of the time, unless it's like, you know, somebody like, you know, like it's like a grandmother to me, you know, I'll text them or whatnot, but 99% of the time, it is, my wife is in a group text. That's wisdom. When you fear, why? One, I love my wife, And two, I love the Lord. I don't want to do anything. Well, Josh, that's just a little bit extreme. Why gamble with sin? That's why if you really go through church history, go through churches, there's a lot of men, mighty men, people that were on huge stages who, you know, we read their books, who had indiscretion. If they fell or had a misstep, what makes you think you're so special? Sin is sneaky like that. So it's like, why are we gambling? There's no need to gamble. It's just like, Lord, let me just be safe. Let me safeguard myself. Let me make sure I walk in wisdom. That's what the fear of the Lord produces. You see, the key difference between the spirit of the fear of the Lord is a supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit that empowers a believer to walk in reverence and obedience. That's why me personally believe that every believer should be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It should be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know there's folks that, oh, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Okay, dude, that's a whole nother message. We'll talk about that again. But you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because you need the Holy Spirit working in your lives. You need to lean on His wisdom. You need to lean on what He does. You need to lean on the Holy Spirit because you cannot do this yourself. That's why Jesus said, it is better that I go. He said, it's good for you that I go. I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send a helper to you. But so many people, I don't need the helper. I'll do it myself. The fear of the Lord is a human response. It's an attitude of awe, respect, and submission to God that comes from understanding His nature and His word. 5 things that are critical to fearing the Lamb. Number 1 is understanding the meaning of fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is often misunderstood because of the word fear in it. In our modern language, it usually carries a negative connotation. But biblically, the fear of the Lord is not about being terrified of God. It's about having a heart posture that recognizes who God truly is. Proverbs 10:19. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is fundamental. Without it, we cannot truly understand wisdom, knowledge, or God Himself. It is a deep sense of reverence and awe for God's majesty, justice, and love. It's an awareness of His greatness and our need for Him. In and of myself, I am nobody. You know, people are like, Josh, can you come pray? You know, we need healing. We need deliverance. We need this. I'm like, in and of myself, I can't do jack. That's about it. I can say some nice words, and that's really about it. They have no power. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all Jesus. So because I understand the fear of the Lord, I understand His greatness and my need for Him. If it wasn't for God, I guarantee you I wouldn't be up here. If it wasn't for God, I guarantee you I'd probably be single or I'd probably have a bunch of kids. I was a savage. Even though I was a pastor's kid. I understand who God is and that I need Him. I need Him day in and day out. Number 2, fear of the Lord draws us closer to God. Many people mistakenly think that fearing God creates distance. Oh, don't ask for this fear of the Lord. You don't want to be scared. God's not, you know, jumping behind a bush. Oogity boogity. The fear of the Lord draws us near because it aligns our heart with His holiness. Fear of God, it aligns us. It aligns our heart with His heart, and that's what we need. Psalms 25:14 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them." I'm going to read that again for those who aren't Bible scholars or don't read their Bible enough. Psalm 25:14. The Lord confides in those who fear him and makes his covenant known to them. Everybody's looking for a get-rich-quick scheme or a hack or anything. You want to get closer to God? Fear him. Have intimacy with him. The psalmist says, the Lord confides. He tells those who fear him and makes his covenant known to them. You want to know the secrets? It's intimacy. You want to know how to do stuff? You want God to give you fresh revelation? It comes through intimacy. When we fear the Lord, he reveals his heart to us. The fear of the Lord fosters intimacy, not separation. It fosters intimacy, not separation. Exodus 20:20, it recounts Moses' words to the Israelites. Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of him will be with you to keep you from sinning. The fear of the Lord protects us from sin. It keeps our hearts sensitive to what pleases and displeases God. When you fear God, holy fear, reverential fear, you're not sinning out of duty. Oh, I can't do that because he's going to punish us. I can't do that. I can't do this. It's just your heart aligns with his heart. The things that he hates, you hate. The things that he loves, you love. That's really what it comes down to. Number 3, the fear of the Lord produces obedience. The spirit of the fear of the Lord leads us to live in obedience. When we reverence God, we naturally desire to follow his commands, and it aligns our lives with his will. Josh, I don't know what God's will is for me. Easy. Follow him. Have intimacy with him. Fear him, holy fear, and let him explain, because one, that's his will, but as you align yourself with his heart, he'll start to reveal what his will for you in your life. Everybody's always looking for a prophetic word. Oh man, give me a prophetic word. Give me a word. You know, especially in Mexico, I remember a couple years ago, I went and Kelvin was preaching and he said, all right, tomorrow if you need a prophetic, Josh is preaching tonight. If you need a prophetic word, come and talk to him. I had so many people come up and say, what is the will of the Lord for me? What do you hear? Everything was like, what is the will of the Lord? And I'm like, why are you asking me? Ask God. Ask the Father. Now, what I say should be confirming what you've already heard. That's what the prophetic should be used for. It's just confirming because we all can hear. According to 1 Corinthians 14, we all should, because of the Holy Spirit, we all should hear from God the Father. I should just be confirming what you already heard. So I had so many people like, you know, oh, I need this, I need that. What's the will? What do you think? There's some folks that, you know, I had a word for them and I kind of confirmed stuff. But there's others that I knew who didn't want to put in the work, who didn't want to hear from the Father. So I just had to look at them and say, look, man, this is what I think you should do. You need to go into a quiet place. You need to listen to the Father, put on worship, whatever you need to do. And you need to listen for yourself what God is saying for your life. Nobody wants to do that. They want to come to the man or woman of God. Hey, give me. I'm like, dude, you just want to bypass. You just want the easy, quick, get rich quick scheme. You don't want to put in the work. Ecclesiastes 12:13 sums it up. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Obedience is not just obligation. It's a response to understanding who God is and what he has done for us. Genesis 22:12 demonstrate Abraham's fear of the Lord when he obeyed God's command to sacrifice Isaac. The angel of the Lord said, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son. The fear of the Lord is revealed through our willingness to surrender everything to him. What are you surrendering that you want, your desires? It could be children. It could be a family. It could be a husband. It could be a wife. It could be a ministry. It could be a job. It's not that God's like, I'm not going to give you this stuff, but he wants to know, am I number one in your heart? Or is your job, your spouse, your kids, money? God's like, I don't want sloppy seconds. I want to be first, period. Bible says that God is a jealous God. I thought you were supposed to be jealous. Ah, shut up. God's a jealous God. It's no different than your spouse. Your spouse doesn't want you, why are you always hanging with the boys? Why are you always hanging with the girls? Why are you always watching TV? I want your time. I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you. I want to be intimate with you. How much does your creator want to be with you? Because that's why he created you. To be with you, to love you, to communicate, to have intimacy with. He didn't just create you all willy-nilly. God was up in heaven. Ah, man, hey, Jesus, man, we're bored up here. Let's just create Homo sapiens. Homo erectus. Let's just create people just for the heck of it because we're bored. We ain't got nothing else better to do. No, he's like, I want to create a being that I can love and will love me back. What do you have to give up? Number four, the fear of the Lord brings blessing. Living in the fear of the Lord leads to countless blessings, both spiritual and practical. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. I need more money, Josh. Ask, how do I pray? God, send me more money. Easy. You want to know how to get riches and wealth and all that stuff? How do I do that? Lord, how do I do it? Live right. Fear the Lord. Be with him. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we experience God's favor and provision. Go to the club with your boys every week, drinking and partying, and then you want to sit here and wonder why God's not blessing you. God's not getting behind that. Oh, man, you're at the strip club or you're at the bar drinking, you're doing this. And we expect God, hey, God, I'm your child. I'm blessed. And God's like, look, you're in places that I'm not in. I'm not at the bar. I'm not at the club. I'm not here. I'm not there. You want me to green light that and to bless you, and you're stepping out my will. That's not where I'm at. People expect God, they expect God's a genie in a bottle. If I just do this, if I just rub the lamp, he'll give me this, this, and this. God will bless you. But you got to be aligned with him. You got to be walking with him. Bless, everywhere he goes, blessing follows. Prosperity follows. Provision follows. But when you get off his path and you start doing your own thing, man, you're no longer in blessing. Blessing's over here. You're way over here. And you're wondering why you're foreclosure. You're wondering why you're broke all the time. You might have to go home and like, Lord, what is causing me in my life? What is causing the distraction where the blessings of the Lord isn't coming to me? What is blocking it? Is there something that I'm doing? It's not God. It's usually us. Now, yes, the enemy just does it because that's what he does. And I get that aspect. That's another sermon, and I totally get that. You can be living for God. I mean, look what Job did. Job was living for Jesus. He was living for God, doing everything right. Still got sick, still lost a lot of his family, lost all his money, lost all. That still happened. That still happened. But here's the deal. The devil wanted to test God. Hey, watch this, God. Job's going to curse your name. God already knew. So I'm not saying the enemy's not going to come for you, even if you're living right. Sometimes the Lord just wants to, he wants to see your heart posture. What are you going to do with it? He already knows. When all this stuff happened with us, you know, the dryer fire, I remember we were driving. I told my family, I said, hey, guys, I'm tired of going through these tests. Everybody better have a good attitude. Let's pass this test so we don't have to retake it. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we experience God's favor and provision. When we walk with him, we walk with his blessing, with his nature. The fear of the Lord brings joy, peace, and prosperity into our lives. Number five, and I'm going to start, I'm going to wrap it up. Cultivating the spirit of the Lord is number five. How do we cultivate the spirit of the fear of the Lord? How can we cultivate the spirit of the fear of the Lord in our lives? Well, easy. You study the Word of God. The more we learn about God through Scripture, the more we understand His greatness and develop a proper reverence for Him. I've had actually somebody tell me, I was talking about Scripture in the Bible, and they said, well, Josh, you know, we're getting new revelation, and there's things, there's revelation that we get now that's not in the Bible. That's what I said too. I just was like, what? Okay. I got you. I understand where he's coming, where this person was coming from. I get it. We might be getting new revelation, fresh revelation, whatever, fresh interpretation and stuff. But here's the caveat. I should be able to look at Scripture and it should line up with fresh revelation, because God's not going to contradict his word. If God talks about, you know, commandment number 7, don't have an adultery, don't be an affair, don't be an adulterer, whether it be with your spouse, whether it be with money, whether it be with him, don't do it. Don't live today and be like, well, that's not really what it meant. You're a fool. Plain and simple. If you're giving me supposedly fresh revelation, fresh manna from heaven today, I should be able to go in Scripture and say, yeah, that lines up with Scripture. We got to be like the Thessalonians. When a prophet says something, when a pastor said something, when the supposed leader says something, it better line up with Scripture. We know Scripture. We should know Scripture, but so many times the body of Christ doesn't know the word. They don't study it enough. And so when the man or woman of God says something, we take it at face value. Okay, well, having more wives, I guess that's okay. Oh, I guess we can cuss. Oh, I guess we can live the way we want to live, and it's A-okay because whatever, whatever, whatever. No! Go into Scripture, and if what you said lines up with Scripture, even if it's fresh, God's not going to contradict his word. He's not going to give us fresh revelation that's totally different from his word. The Bible says I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes. Sin is sin, period. How do we cultivate a spirit of the fear of the Lord? Study his word. We have to be students of the word. You have to be students of the word. You have to read Scripture day in, day out. This is your manual to life. It will tell you all the answers. It will probably tell you how to fix your car if you look in Scripture hard enough. Everything. Oh man, I need wisdom for my business right here. I need to say, you know, if you're a man, how do I woo my wife and ignite passion back in my marriage? Go read Song of Solomon. Yeah, it even tells you how to surf. What, Josh? Yeah, Paul had a shipwreck. He said, if any of you could swim to shore, swim to shore. But those who can't swim, grab a plank and come on in. There you go, your first service. Yay, cowabunga. So one way is study the word. Another way is worship. True worship flows from a heart that fears the Lord. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 reminds us, let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, For our God is a consuming fire. Your worship, whether you worship here on Sunday or Saturday or throughout the week, worship flows from the heart that fears God. If you don't fear God, you really don't give a crap about worship. I've been there. There's times where, you know, you're going through your little wanes. You're like, you know. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. So, I've been through all this stuff. When you're not really fearing God, I'm going to do my own thing. You really can care less about worship. No, let's go listen to worship music. Why? I'd rather listen to Snoop. In my case, let's go worship. No, I go listen to DMX. I had a cousin that was from the Bronx, so when he came to visit me, it was DMX, you know, all East Coast, Red Man, Method Man, like all those guys, man, you know, Wu-Tang Clan. I'm like, man, this is a triumph playing. Oh, ooh. But there was a season where it's like, but when you fear the Lord, you start to enjoy worship. You're like, oh, man, I could sit and worship. There's times we've been in worship here. I've been in services where worship has gone 3, 4, 5 hours. And you look at your watch and you're like, it's been 5 hours? I feel like it's been 30 minutes. I'm not ready to stop. When you fear the Lord, you love worship. And it's not just, how great is thy faithfulness. It's just worship. You can be at your house. Lord, I just thank you. Oh, I praise you. Oh, God, you're so good. Thank you for my children. That's worship. You're just awe. Sometimes in that worship, because I have worship with awe. Yes, worship. But sometimes you're just like, you're worshiping God, and then, like, you see a facet of God, and you're just like, holy smokes, you're so good. Wow. I remember I was in Mexico. I was at a pastor's house. We stayed at this past Pastor Ovell's house. And me and Kelvin were talking about For God So Loved the World. He's like, Josh, go do a study. Get your Greek lexicon, get your Hebrew English. Go read it. He said, go really read what, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Go read it. Because how we preach it doesn't have the same oomph and the same power of what it really means. I read it. I start weeping. I'm like, oh, God, you're so good. Oh, my goodness. I was in complete awe. Because I was like, you really didn't have to do this. Like, I am so blessed that you came for me. Like, you didn't have to do this at all. You didn't need us. You don't need us. I can't help you. There's nothing that I can do for you. But you decided that, hey, I want to create a being that I want to have passion, relationship, intimacy with. And it's just, oh. Other times you'll be in worship. I've been times where I'm just soaking and the Lord just does something. You're just like, no words. You're just like, I got nothing to say. How do we cultivate a spirit of the fear of the Lord? Uh-oh, it's like the Oscars. I'm getting played off. You know, at the Oscars, I just want to thank God. I want to thank my mom, my dad, and then the band's off. Wrap it up. We got a 3-hour show. I'm almost done. I got 10 more minutes, technically. How do we cultivate the spirit of the fear of the Lord? Confess and turn from sin. The fear of the Lord leads to repentance and holiness. Fear of the Lord leads to repentance and holiness. We have to live a holy and consecrated life. Proverbs 8:13 says this, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. When you fear the Lord, you hate the things that he hates. He hates injustice. He hates the murder of innocent babies. He hates sin, so you start to hate that. Not everybody hates that. Not everybody confesses in turn. You know how I know? I know a lady, I'll just say a person, who was at a church. I was watching a live stream. This lady was a pastor and gets up and talks about how abortion is okay. God hates murder of innocent children. And you say it's okay? You say it's all right? Where did you get that twisted from? Where is your theology so bad where you're like, hey, God, it's because you don't fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you're, oh, heck no. Homie, don't play that. Yeah, Tiff was saying that that person said, God cares more about other things than that. No, God can care about everything at one time, and not one thing is neglected. He gives 100% to each thing because he's God. We can't, but he can. He can care about this, 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 all at 110%. There's no chintzing it. He can do it all at 110%. We can't do that. We can only put our focus on one or two things. He can do it all. I care about all these things and with the same depth, with the same passion, with the same zeal. Nothing is forgotten. We have to confess and turn from sin. We have to be a people where we get back to saying, hey, yo, sin is sin, period. I love you. I love you, but you got to get out of that. I don't care if it's your family. I don't care if it's your friends. We have to be like, sin is sin. We cannot. This is what's happening in the church today, is that because we're not confessing sin, because we have this lax view, we are tainting the altar. Josh, that's a little extreme. Yeah, I'm being extreme today. Next week, I'll be happy-go-lucky and I'll be joyful and all that stuff. Well, the following week, next time I'm here. But this is something that's burning in me, is the fear of the Lord, because guess what? I've been to churches, I've watched stuff, and they have a tainted altar, and they're wondering why God isn't moving. They're so jacked up in sin, Satan's on the roof, like, hey, man, there ain't no power here, so I'm good. We have to live a life of holiness. And it's only done by the Holy Spirit. It's only done by the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because when sin tries to come and bring temptation, the fear of the Lord says, nah, man, I'm not going to do that because I love him way too much to do that. I love him so much. I don't want to taint myself. I'm the vessel of the Holy Spirit. I'm not tainting this vessel. And if you mess up, you can ask for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. And he cleans you up right up. But some people, they mess up and they justify their sin and they keep on doing it and they tell others, it's okay. We have to turn from sin. We have to look different. We gotta look different. We gotta look different. We gotta look different. We gotta look different. Last one is seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts the fear of the Lord as one of his manifestations. Pray for the Spirit to fill you and to guide you with a deeper reverence towards God. Holy Spirit, increase my capacity to look at God, to look at the Son with reverence, with awe. You can't do it in your own strength. It has to be done through the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is not about living in dread or anxiety. It's about recognizing holiness of God and living in a way that honors him. I want to say that again. I want to say something's going to piss everybody off. It's about recognizing the holiness of God and living in a way that honors him. Beloved, it ain't about you. As Christians, it ain't about you. We want everything. Our music is about us. It ain't about you at all. It's about the creator of the universe. It is about the Lamb who was slain, and that we do all of this so that he may receive the reward of his suffering. When did Christianity, when did we become so selfish, thinking that we're so high and mighty that it's all about us? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And because we have this selfish mentality in Christendom, we have a weak, we preach a weak gospel. It's all about getting money. It's all about what you can do, what God can do for you. Son of a gun, it ain't about what you can. It's about what he is, who he is, what he did. I tell people, well, I want to be blessed. I want to be this. I want to be that. Man, if Jesus never did nothing else for you except salvation, holy smokes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm only here for 80, 90, 100, 120 years. Compared to eternity, I'll take it on the chin. Trust me, me and my family, we go through stuff. I guess when I got saved, I signed up for the Overcomer package. Yes, I did say that. Yes, we go through the fire. Yes, we go through the stuff. There's days I want to throw it in the towel, but I have the mindset that Jesus, you're all that I got. It's you or nothing. It's Jesus or bust. And so when I understand we live for a holy God and everything that we do honors him, it's like, hey, I'm good with that. Josh, that's a crazy statement if Jesus never did anything else. But that's his nature. He's always going to bless you. But you got to have that mindset that if he ever does it and you just got salvation, you're good. But that's not who he is. He's always going to give you good stuff. So don't worry. Don't even fret about that. The fear of the Lord, it draws us closer to him and produces obedience. It brings blessing into our lives. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, may we continually ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, or fill us with his Spirit, because you should have the Holy Spirit already, including the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I've been praying that for years. Lord, I want the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because Jesus had in Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 was prophesying Jesus, saying that the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord would rest upon him. Let's commit today to live in awe and reverence of a mighty God. Let us fear the Lord. Let the fear of the Lord shape our thoughts, guide our actions, and deepen our love with him. Fear the Lamb. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I guarantee you, you fear the Lamb, you have that holy fear, your life's going to look different. When you fear the Lamb, I guarantee you're going to get the haters. Why are you doing this and that? Don't worry about them haters. They just hate us because they ain't us. That's really what it comes down to. Because they see what God's doing in your life, and I want that too, so I'm going to be pissed off with you because you're doing something that I'm not willing to do. That's all it is. So someone says, oh, you don't need the fear of the Lord. You know what, buddy? It's a 50-50 coin flip. Either I'm right or you're right. I rather just play it on the safe side, and if I get up to heaven, Jesus said, well, you didn't really have to fear me, but hey, you're still good. Hey, oh, hey, I didn't lose anything. But I can go through scripture and scripture after scripture, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. It's not a bad thing. Let's pray.